Hello, my friends. I am Jim Hinckley. Welcome to another episode of Jim Hinckley's America, 5 Minutes with Jim, an adventure through time. Adapt or die. That was the challenge faced by a countless number of blacksmith shops and companies that produced wagons, surreys, and harnesses in 1900. Many companies made a valiant effort to adapt to changing times. A few companies denied the obvious, and one company successfully made the transition.
Say hello to a new friend on an old road. Take a two-lane trip of memories into mysteries unknown. Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.
In 1865, Jacob Diehl established the Diehl Buggy Company in Jonesville, Michigan. By 1890, the company was a leading regional manufacturer of buggies, freight wagons, buckboards, surreys, and sleighs. The company was so successful that before the turn of the century, a new multi-story factory complex was built to meet growing demand. But the handwriting was on the wall. In 1894, the Duryea brothers had initiated production of automobiles for sale. Ransom Olds launched Oldsmobile just before the turn of the century. The Blood brothers in Kalamazoo, Michigan, were experimenting with motorized bicycles. The Stanley brothers were soliciting for investors in their new endeavor, a company to manufacture steam-powered automobiles. The Diehl Buggy Company would continue producing horse-drawn vehicles into the teens, but sales commenced a precipitous decline in 1904. So, in 1905, George Diehl motorized a buggy. After extensive experimentation and testing, the company initiated limited production. Encouraged by the moderate success, in 1908, the Diehl Motor Vehicle Company was organized. It was a short-lived endeavor. Production ceased in 1911. His descendants claimed that Clement Studebaker built his first wagon in America around 1750. In 1852, two of Clement's great-grandchildren, Henry and Clement, opened the H&C Studebaker Blacksmith Shop in South Bend, Indiana. During their first year of operation, they built two farm wagons, but sales were anemic. In 1853, John Studebaker joined the endeavor. Two sturdy custom wagons were built. One was traded to a wagon train as payment for John's overland passage with a wagon train bound for California's gold fields. The second wagon carried John, his tools, and his possessions west. John had intended to prospect, find gold, strike it rich, and return to Indiana. Instead, he earned a small fortune in Placerville, California, repairing wagons and coaches and manufacturing pick handles as well as wheelbarrows. In 1858, he returned to South Bend and, with monies earned, helped his brothers expand the business. The company would have most likely remained a moderately successful regional company if it had not been for the Civil War. A military contract for the manufacture of wagons and ambulances was the company's first step toward becoming the largest manufacturer of wheeled vehicles in the world. The supply wagons for General George Armstrong Custer were built by Studebaker. Winston Churchill was sleeping in a Studebaker wagon when he was captured during the Boer War. And even though Studebaker would continue producing horse-drawn vehicles until 1920, the company began diversifying in the late 1890s. A new division for the manufacture of automobile bodies and similar components was established in Chicago. The company also initiated feasibility studies to begin the transition to automobile manufacturing. In limited partnership with Thomas Edison, the company debuted its first automobile in 1902. It was an electric car. 2 years later, the company introduced its first gasoline automobile, a two-cylinder, 16-horsepower touring car. And by 1908, Studebaker was counted among the leading automobile producers in the United States. With sales escalating exponentially, in 1911, the company purchased the Everett Metzger Flanders Company of Detroit and reorganized as the Studebaker Corporation. A diverse line of vehicles ensured further success. For 1912, sales catalogs noted the availability of the EMF 30, the Flanders 20, the Studebaker Garford 40, and Studebaker Electrics. By 1913, Studebaker was the third largest producer of automobiles in America, behind Ford and Overland. In the 1920s, Studebaker became the first automobile company to offer a special police package. In 1928, Studebaker took over the ailing Pierce Arrow Motor Company of Buffalo, New York. But company president Albert Erskine underestimated the severity of the Great Depression. The company would soldier on through World War II, the 1950s, and into the early 1960s, but it would never recover. Today, except for the ardent auto enthusiast, Studebaker is a forgotten historic footnote. But once upon a time, it successfully bridged the past and the future. Once upon a time, it was a leader in innovation and styling. This program was made possible in part by the Roadrunner Lodge in Tucumcari, New Mexico. More than a motel, this is a time capsule wrapped in modern amenities. It is the magic of Route 66 made manifest. Thank you for joining us on another adventure through time. Until we meet again, mi amigos, adios. Remember, telling people where to go and sharing the adventure is what we do at Jim Hinckley's America. Stay tuned for another exciting episode of 5 Minutes with Jim, or check out our website at jimhinckleysamerica.com.
Come along for the ride. Jim Hinckley's America. Jim Hinckley's America.